Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Scottish Rugby Podcast, brought to you by the Scottish Rugby Blog. I am Cammy Black. We've got a bumper podcast this evening. We were going to do a little pro season review of Glasgow and Edinburgh and find out how things are done. But then there's been what can we describe as an avalanche of news that's happened in the last couple of days. So we've got quite a bit to get through tonight. And joining me to dig our way through the compacted snow of all the news that has come our way, we have John Anderson. Good evening, John. He's muted himself. Can you hear me? We don't know. Are you with us, John? Good evening. He's struggling with his microphone, I think. Anyway, Craig Manson's with us as well. Good evening, Craig.
Good evening. My mic's working tonight.
Good. I'm pleased it's not. I thought I was going to be on my own tonight. I thought, John's. We've also got with us Ian Hay. Good evening, Ian.
Hello, oh, sorry, or otherwise known as the other part of John, Jean Andrew. I think what he's done is, I think he's just left it muted down on the bottom bar.
What he's done is he sounded a little bit echoey on his on his proper professional mic, so he switched back to his headset, but he's messed it up, so now he's had to disappear and go away and set it up.
See, after our band rehearsals, you know, we tried to say, oh man, your sound's not quite right here, blah, blah, blah. You know, the man can't even set up a microphone properly.
He has a drummer, though, am I not right? So.
Yeah, so he's basically Mutt and Jeff.
Are drummers even musicians?
No. Classic musical joke. How do you know a drummer's sitting upright? Foaming out both sides of the mouth.
We were just saying how wonderful drummers were, John.
So I believe.
Especially ones who play Walk This Way at the correct speed, John.
Well, Ian, I think you'll find that you are on my time. You know, I am a scary, balding taskmaster.
We're the rhythm section. There's no I in team, John, and there's not one in John. There's two in Ian. So basically, I should be the one that's faster. Messing things up.
There is an ass in bass.
There is an ass in
there
bass.
There is, yes. And what a big ass it is.
There's an in drum as well, so let's not.
there's a double ass and double bass, so you know, take what you want from that.
But we're not here. We're not here to. Yeah, you know, we could talk all night about, you know, why the bass is the greatest section in with any band, but we shan't. We've got a bit of news to get on with. Andy Lone has joined us. Good evening, Andy. Andy says, what do you think of the new Pro 14-16 United Rugby Championship? Well, Andy, you're in luck. We're going to be talking about that later on this evening. We should just start by saying that if you are watching us live, we're currently on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter and Twitch. So hello to everybody watching us live. If you don't watch live, we are available as an audio download afterwards on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and any other podcast apps that you can get your hands on. We are also sponsored by Manscaped. If you visit manscaped.com/Scottish Rugby, you can get 20% off plus free shipping on a range of male grooming products. We say male grooming products because that's what they're marketed at. I don't know, maybe if any women have, you know, pop on, see if there's anything that takes your fancy. I don't think they discriminate in that way. You don't have
I'm
to
led, I'm led to believe, Cam, that the issue, so I've done a bit of investigative journalism this week, because I thought, do you know what? Why are they marketing it purely? So it turns out men's razors, because of the coarseness of our hair, are slightly sharper. So women tend to, it's why, you know, women using a man's razor, it can be a bit dodgy. So apparently they're a wee bit sharper, and with that can come some issues around the coarseness of the hair.
Well, and understandably, so what we can say is Manscaped have designed a product to deal with the coarseness of men's hair.
Correct. Yes. Yes. Even the most coarse of hair, as I would attest to, given that I am quite a hirsute young man.
Yes. Kind of from the ears down, though, John.
So that's the Manscaped right there. Look at that. Good job.
Could it deal with like Jeff Goldblum's back hairs in The Fly, though? Remember that bit where Gina Davis has to cut his first fly hairs off?
I remember that most days because I wake up And, you know, it's like that, Ian. It's hard. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you go, I'm like that.
I don't think, legally, I don't think we can say that Manscaped will cut off, Jeff Goldblum in the Fly's hair. But we know that it can deal with men's the coarseness of a man's hair, if you want to be trim.
I did my neck shoulder area with one of the blades. So, yeah.
Not yet. Yesterday, I assume. Turn around slightly.
What?
This is absolute gold for our audio listeners,
oh, yeah.
Lads.
Oh, yeah, but we've also got the... the new section, there's the mullet thing.
We have, yeah, we've got the mullet.
Don't ruin stuff, John. Jesus.
if you go to manscaped.com/ScottishRugby, you get 20% off plus free shipping on a range of male grooming products. You know, part of lockdown has been delayed. You might not be able to get back out in the clubs, but there's no reason you can't start to get yourself ready for being back out and about in the wide world. You can also, if you want to, you can sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/ScottishRugbyPodcast. If you go there for £3 a month, you will get ad-free versions of this podcast, and you can also get some exclusive content. We're planning this evening, we'll try and keep this to an hour tonight, because we're going to try and talk about the hardest player of the 2000s in what will possibly be the shortest ever podcast we've done. But we're going to have a go at that after this podcast, and that'll be for our Patreons only. So £3 a month, we'll get you access to that. If you pay £5 a month, then we'll read your name out on the podcast as well. So I think that's all the formalities out of the way. I'm just going through my agenda. I think that's all the housekeeping. To the left, in the event that we're not expecting a fire alarm today.
Yeah, if it goes off, make your way to the safest nearest exit and
the car park.
Unless you're at Scotland Stadium, in which case you'll be directed the other way and then the other way again. Because you have a flag in the disabled toilet.
It's because Big Brian had left, mate. If Big Brian had been there, we would have been sorted. He would have been like those massive big hands. Whoa, sure.
I don't think he'd left, but then he was just probably injured again.
He was an exile by that point.
Is he still at Toulon?
As far as I'm aware.
I think he might have moved to an North French club, but I cannot.
It's a very hard name to Google.
He is indeed still at Toulon.
There we go. So, should we start with the news? We'll go through the news. What we do, we'll build up to the... I keep wanting to call it the Ultimate Rugby Championship.
That's exactly what I call it every time.
I know.
It's got to be... I'm going to put my shades on, my hat on backwards and start smashing people across the back. across the back with a fold-up chair.
Like I said on Twitter, it sounds like one of the breakaway. Remember all the breakaways you had from WWE in the 90s? It sounds like one of them, WCW or something like that. So we'll get on to that. There's bits of news to get on with. Hugh Jones had signed for Bayonne.
He had.
But Bayonne have been now relegated to French D2. So we understand that Hugh Jones is no longer going to Bayonne. Mm-hmm. But we don't know where he's going yet.
Is he going to the back of Bayonne?
Bravo!
Well done.
Yeah, because there was rumours that obviously it had been announced he was leaving Glasgow, and it had been announced by everybody but Bayonne that he was joining them. And people were speculating that this was because they were mire deep in a relegation battle, which they have now ultimately lost. So you do wonder if there was a wee condition in the contract to say, no, not going to play Pro Dido.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, especially given that he was coming back in the Scotland squad, it would be madness not to have inserted some sort of break clause in the contract. Yeah. It's going to be, I suppose, the difficulty now from, though, Craig, is who's got the money to pay for Hugh Jones at this stage in the season, because most of the deals will be done by now.
Yeah, you would think so too. It just depends. You know, I know Leicester were in for him the last time, but they'll probably tell him to get lost if he comes back, seeing as he told them, no, I'm going to stay with Glasgow for the same money as you're offering me. But that's the question. Mind you, I'll tell you, it'll be a bargain for someone. It'll be a Premiership club, I'm sure.
You would think with the Premiership, though, the difficulty is going to be that they'll all have sorted the salary caps for the season.
And budgets. Yeah, you might be looking at some of the Nouveau Riche South African teams, perhaps a wee return to the Stormers.
Ooh. Well, that is an interesting...
It would work out in terms
of the scene of the crime.
And then he'd be able to take them out in Glasgow when they come up to play us in the Ultimate Wrestling Challenge.
Ultimate Fighting Rugby Championship.
Absolutely.
Just imagine the carnage if Hugh Jones took the Stormers boys out in Glasgow. It would be, there'd be where's Doogie Donnelly's allies.
The other bit of news then, we've had a couple of additions to the, I mean, it's the Scotland squad, but I don't know, hey, are they all the internationals in the summer? Or is it just the England games and A game and then the rest are full cap?
Yes.
That's right. So the Scotland squad, we've got a couple of replacement calls. So Matt Ferguson, we knew was in for surgery because he broke his arm playing Leinster. And he is not being replaced because Mike Blair says they have enough back row options. However, it has freed up a space for Rory Hutchinson, which will satisfy every single Scottish rugby forum in the entire world. Because now the answer has answered the question, where's Rory Hutchinson? He's back in the Scotland squad. Although there's never been any explanation as to why he wasn't in the first place and why he is now, other than we have a space for him.
I kind of wonder if it was, you know, he's a regular at Northampton. And I wonder if there was a sort of, is he going to be a bit fatigued? Obviously, you know, the SRU don't have any control over his playload. But it has been one of these, why isn't he playing? But then he's going to come in and he's going to probably be terrible. I really hope he doesn't, because he looks like a fantastic player, you know. But
he's never performed in a Scotland shirt, really. Look at Chris Harris, I suppose. You know, when he first came in, everyone slated him.
I think the best brief moments of Rory Hutchinson I've seen in Scotland jersey would be when he came on as a sub in that World Cup warm-up game against France when we get done in France. But he looked like far more, I think, Taylor and, I can't remember who was in the field, but it was Taylor and someone else, and neither of them looked like any use, and Hutchinson looked like the only guy who could possibly break a tackle and get us some kind of attacking ball. He's more of an attacking player, centre. Rather than say a solid guy like Harrison Johnson, we'll see who gets on. You know,
I think there's something in the idea, Ian, that they're, because he's essentially run 2 years of rugby together now, and I think we talked about it previously in the pod, saying, you know, the SRU don't have control over him, but what they do have control over is those fixtures in the summer, so they can almost enforce a break with a view to a World Cup in 2 years.
Yeah. The other call up, and this one's for you, Craig, is we've got the Adam McBurney, current Ulster hooker but future Ember hooker, has been called up. And I got really excited when I saw this because I thought Dave Cherry had got a Lions call up, but it turns out he's just injured.
Yeah, he's had a hand injury, I believe. It's an interesting one because obviously I know. Oh, I've forgotten the hooker's name that played, the young lad.
We talked about last week, but I can't remember his name.
It's just gone right in my head. But you would have thought, I know he's playing in the under-20s, or he's been named in the under-20 squad, but you would have thought he may have had a bump up rather than McBurnley, but I believe McBurnley has been brought over because he's Scottish qualified. So I suppose if he's going straight in there, he looked all right against us when Ulster played us a couple of weeks ago, you know. But and he looks like he can do a job. But I think he'll be behind the queue of many other Scottish hookers that will be, he'll probably be coming in to hold a ruck shield, you know.
Yeah,
I did like Jamie Ritchie, like when Edinburgh playing Ulster, telling the ref not to. Like yellow card or send off McBurney. He's like, he's been playing for us next year, so it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want any bands carrying over into our season.
Smart.
Speaking of Sam Skinner.
Yeah, well, what's happened? I caught that today. What's happened there, Ian?
Well, I've not actually seen the incident myself, but him and Dave Ewers have been banned for 4 weeks by the RFU, which is likely to rule them out of the Premiership final. They've got, I think, it's their one regular season game left, then there's playoff, then the final. So Skinner's involvement in the tour, it might be curtailed.
He was named in the original tour squad, though, wasn't he, Skinner?
Yes, yeah, he was.
Yeah, well, what they're saying is he's done. He's not going. But I watched the game, and I actually think he was the unlucky one out of the two. I thought, you know, Dave Ewers got away with it. Got away. That sounds terrible, but a yellow card, and he should have had a red, and that's obviously been, you know. That's obviously been backed up now by the Sighting Commission, but Skinner was just lucky that Lord Farquhar was just a little bit too small, and unfortunately when he went in to Faf de Klerk, he tracked him one in the head, you know.
Yeah, doing a favour to the Lions, of course. I mean, you know, he's just doing his public duty.
Absolutely.
I suppose, look, I mean, he'll have an opportunity to appeal the... you're right, though, Ian. I mean, if the appeal's unsuccessful, then it's there's little or no point in going on a Scotland tour, because you'll miss the next Premiership game, the final, presumably. Then you've got the England and Romania game, would be four.
England game doesn't count.
Doesn't count towards a ban? Does it not count towards a ban as a competitive fixture?
Nope. It'll be the two playoff games. It'll be the semi-final and final plus the two fixtures. So he is out the tour. If he's banned for 4 weeks, he's out the tour.
Unless he plays the... Could he play the England A game? Could he play the game against England A?
So the England A game, I believe it doesn't count as a non-capped fixture in that sense. And also, doesn't count as a competitive fixture.
I believe from... the Twitter framework, I've seen that both him and Ewers, they pleaded not guilty. So yeah. I don't know if they can appeal it now. And that's why it was 4 weeks instead of three. If they pleaded not guilty, then they could get... if they'd accepted it, they'd get three. But because they pleaded not guilty, they got four. But if they got away with it, they could have played in the final. I think that's why they went
That's the bigger game for... Well, I was going to say, that's the bigger game for Skinner then, rather than going on a... to what is essentially a development tour with Scotland.
To Romania and Georgia.
He knows he's already in amongst the sort of big name 23, so, you know, it's up to the likes of Hodgson and that to push him out rather than for him to lose his spot, I'd say.
I think the exciting thing is, though, with regards to that tour, is that the England A Scotland A match is going to be broadcast live on Channel 4.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, it'd be good.
So that'll be rather than YouTube, streamed on YouTube, which has always been the case with these games.
Or only online on the iPlayer if you check in at a specific time, such as the Women's Six Nations was.
Yeah. I'm pleased that England are no longer called the England Saxons, because I understand why they've decided to drop that, given the kind of connotations and the fact that you know, the idea of Saxons has been adopted by far-right groups, but I was kind of hoping that it'd be an opportunity to kind of rename the Scotland A team with a decent name rather than just Scotland A.
Yeah, I think it's always been a bit of a missed opportunity that we could come up with something really creative.
I think we've got the Irish Wolfhounds. I think the Scottish Unicorns would have been the way forward. It's a national animal.
No, I'd even just gone with Scottish Chiefs and actually have proper Chiefs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
What's the level below? Well, I don't know. I don't really understand the kind of ranking of Celtic tribes. What's the level below Chiefs? Because presumably it's the A squad. It's a level below. So you kind of be the Chiefs. You're the what? Assistant to the manager. Assistant to the chief.
Brendan Gleeson and Braveheart. That's who you're. Man at arms.
The Scottish Gleesons. So I think that's it. The other bit of news is that the tournament that just won't die is that the Scottish Super Six is back.
Yay!
Completely forgot it existed. So the Super Six is back after not really getting, to be fair, not really getting much of a chance to get off the ground. So there's going to be like a, are they doing like a mini tournament they're doing from the 30th of July through to October, with the final on the 15th of October. So it's like a condensed season.
That's kind of like what they were doing in the first place, because, you know, they, it was a shortened season because they didn't arrange any cross-border fixtures, and then they were going to have one after, like the sort of Scottish-Welsh tournament. I mean, I don't necessarily hate the idea. I think it, I don't want to just disparage it straight away. I think it should be given time to breathe, time to develop it. But what I do disagree on is, I mean, what is it exactly? Because they're actually saying it's not a development system. It's a semi-pro thing, and that's why they don't mind when an unnamed team from the West Coast, and there is only one, so we know who it is, start advertising for front row forwards. So they're sort of saying, oh, it's not really a development league, but this is where we're going to put a bunch of development players in. I want to give it time to breathe, and you know, there has been some decent players in it, and it would be, especially for Glasgow, like a couple of times when I went, you saw like Saffron McDowell and Rory Hughes playing, because they weren't going to be in Dave Rennie's 800-man squad. So they got a chance to get at least a run out. But it's, what is it? What are they trying to do with it? Is it?
Yeah.
But I want it to succeed. It just,
it, I think, I mean, it's better organised. I think they're trying to have their cake and eat it a little bit with it, is that they're trying to get rid of professionalism from the club rugby game, because there were clubs, I mean, Craig will attest to this, there were clubs within club rugby, like particularly like the at regional club level, paying guys to come over from New Zealand because they had somebody at the club that could give them a job or afford to subsidise their wage.
Yeah,
you know, like you'd go and play a club early in the season and you'd steamroll them, and then the second part of the season you find all of a sudden half the squad speaking with South African accents. But I think there's an attempt to get rid of that, which I think is fair, because then it rewards teams that have a good youth setup and are able to retain their players. But like you said, Ian, at the same time, I'm not entirely sure that, you know, that it, we want to be paying guys to come over from South Africa and New Zealand to play a, where there are very good players at club level who would be grateful and would grab with both hands the opportunity to play at that level. So, but at the same time, I suppose you need a stopgap. So I don't know. I think you're right. I think it needs time to find its feet. Do you agree with that, Craig?
Yeah, I'm a little bit like Ian. I'm a little bit just unsure. There's a huge amount of furore about it. There's a lot of people have a very, very strong opinion either way about it. I'm kind of in the middle with it. I'd like to see how it goes and give it its chance, because I don't think it's really had its chance. I would say, however, that the SRU have missed a huge opportunity to have clubs all around the country being involved in it. And I think that's maybe why we are sitting back, I'm certainly sitting back going, yeah, okay, I suppose, because, you know, everything's an hour and a half's journey to get to go and watch a game. Whereas if we had, for example, Dundee went in for it, I know that you guys will be very vocal on Glasgow, you know, but we haven't taken these teams on that you could have actually tried to, bring Scottish rugby as a whole, club rugby together to back them. Now it's just another set of teams that were always kind of just winning anyway in the Prem, and we're kind of just letting them crack on. So they've missed a trick with
it. Yeah, but I mean, bring back regional rugby. I think that's I think that it's disappointing that the franchises had the opportunity to do that, to say you could have had one of the opportunities, I think, was for one of the options was for clubs to make joint bids for it, where you'd say, you know, we were all the clubs in the border saying we'll put together a team and it will select from all the clubs in the borders and they'll play for the you know, we'll put the best clubs in the board, team players in the borders versus the best in the West, best in the East, and then the Highlands and, you know, the Midlands. And you could have, it could have been a really good development pathway. And then there probably would have been more buy-in from the clubs. Cause I mean, if I saw that a lad for Berwick was getting a chance to go and play for the Borders team, and likewise, Craig, if you saw someone for Howard Fife was getting a chance to play for a team, then you'd have an interest.
Absolutely, yeah. I totally agree. If you look at it, if I'm talking to my son who's playing now, he's just going into Colts rugby, what the pathway is, well, I'm only really talking about going into senior men's rugby within the Howard Fife, because, okay, we've got Cali and we've got, these are all still going, but it's kind of under the radar, whereas I would have thought the SRU have got, or Scottish Rugby have got their media outlets all sorted out. They've got a fantastic social media presence. They should use that for the club rugby side of things as well. Again, we could open up a whole can of worms with that one.
Yeah.
Scottish Rugby internationals have come from every part of Scotland, and by the SRU made clear what the Super Six was when they didn't. When they put three clubs in Edinburgh, they made clear what the Super Six was. It is a condensing of resources back into the private schools, back into the system that has failed Scottish rugby for years and will continue to do so. It is an absolute disgrace of leadership. I'm just furious about it.
It's like when there was three clubs in Edinburgh picked, it was just like, all right, so we're all going to wear we'll just get new badges on them.
That's it, yeah, yeah. Yeah, better not pick any poor people, because
you know, I have none of that.
Hello, poor people don't play rugby.
Not exactly. What? Gosh.
You know, you get Kieran Tierney turn up at Arsenal with his lunch and a Tesco bag and everyone loves him.
To be fair, I don't think he's at lunch in a Tesco bag state, but I know the story.
No, literally,
he did. He did.
You know, you've got all these other guys like, oh, my Louis Vuitton lunchbox. He's like, all right, man, got a meal deal at a Tesco. I've got a great shortage role as well. And he still goes out and is one of the best players on the park. You know.
Definitely, more of that in rugby. Shall we move on to the IRC, or the Ultimate Rugby Championship, or the United Rugby Championship?
I think go Ultimate. I think they have to go Ultimate.
I think I think for the purpose of this podcast, we're going to call it the Ultimate Rugby Championship.
Yep.
I mean, it's like the Americans are going to call it like Major League Rugby. It's like, man, you're like, you know, you're not even Super Six level.
Major is below Super. Like, so it's Major, Super, Ultimate.
Ultimate.
Yeah. Exciting.
It'll also give us a little bit more. You know, everyone keeps going on about the Gallagher Premiership, looks down upon the Pro 14. Well, now we are the Ultimate Rugby Championship.
Exactly. Take your Gallagher. What descriptor does Gallagher have?
You know what? The U should have our undisputed rugby championship. So just Josh Taylor is like part of the logo.
whoever wins it is world champions.
And listen, lads, the United Rugby Championship, you can have all those suggestions for free. We won't even charge for those. Who would like
more videos?
Who would like an explainer video for how the United Rugby Championship is going to work?
This isn't
a choice, because you're going to get one. Are you ready?
Does this mean I can go and like get a bag of crisps or something?
You can go and get a bag. If you've got time to get a bag of crisps, go to the toilet. This takes a while.
I've seen this before.
On we go.
The United Rugby Championship kicks off in September 2021, changing club rugby as we know it. South Africa's four elite teams, the Selsea Sharks, DHL Stormers, Vodacom Bulls and Emirates Lions, will join the best of Ireland, Italy, Scotland and Wales to form a 16-team league that will be bigger, bolder and stronger. Teams will play 18 regular season games, 9 at home and 9 away. After 18 games, the top 8 teams will qualify for the quarterfinals, followed by semi-finals and a final to determine who is the best of the best among these five powerhouse nations. Pools of four will allow each team to complete their home and away derby games. Each team will play six of their 18 games against their regional pool rivals. The remaining 12 games will be made from an even number of home or away games against the other teams in the league. Every team will be eligible to qualify for European tournaments, and the regional pools and league table will be used to identify the top eight teams who make it into the Heineken Champions Cup. Every point won from all 18 games will contribute to a team's standing in their regional pools. The team that tops each pool will automatically qualify for the Champions Cup. Those four teams will then be removed from the league table, and the four highest-ranked remaining teams will also earn their place in the Champions Cup. The United Rugby Championship. Five nations, 16 teams, one champion.
You got it? Clear?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, certainly clearer than having a bit more clearer than the conference model.
Yeah. I think Callum says, with only two pro teams, we're going to struggle, aren't we? Top of the Italian-Scotland group, though. I mean, we'll probably come on to that in a bit. But so essentially that, we're in the Glasgow and Edinburgh in a conference with Bennett and Zebra, because all the other regions of the championship have four teams. Yep. Apart from us in Italy, who only got two, so we've been lumped together in the classic Italian Scottish way together.
So yeah, how long till we get dropped for Georgian teams? Eh?
Or at least someone starts talking about it on the internet about it, you know, constant Twitter thing about it, you know. Should be seeing Georgian teams coming in.
That discussion will happen after the first season when they realise that the Scottish teams have a huge bloody advantage because we're playing the Italian teams twice.
Well, should we get on to that later? Let's just generally, John, I'll start with you. How do you feel about that? I mean, is it overall, it feels like a positive and a good thing?
Once I got my head around the video and realised that because of the way they've done it, with each team at the top of the conference gets Champions Cup and then it's everything under that, I think, genuinely, I think the Irish teams will be sitting there utterly livid at this, because they are. So if I was Danny Wilson or Richard Cockrell, and as a Scottish rugby fan and as a Glasgow fan, I am jumping up and doing cartwheels just now, because two games against Edinburgh, sorry guys, but you know, you're no Leinster. Two games against Ebre, so that's 10 points. And then Benetton, who, let's be very clear, Benetton were mince this season.
Lost.
Until they turned
lost.
They're about to become Rainbow Cup champions.
No, they're not.
This is Benetton's Leicester City moment.
This is Benetton's lost 15 out of 16 in regular season and then turned up for a Diddy Cup. It's what Edinburgh do all the time.
It's only a Diddy Cup because you didn't get anywhere with it. I bet you if you're in the final, this is the best since in sliced bread. Almost have to put my quinoa.
Sorry, no, I'm talking about the 1872, bud. Totally.
Craig, from what's your view on this then? I mean, certainly I think that the format and the way the fixtures are going to run, that the idea that there's not going to be any clashes with international weekends feels like a positive move.
Yeah, I'm in with both feet. I'm a happy guy. I think it's an incredibly positive move. I think also the Pro 14 was getting to a point where it was Pro 12, then Pro 14, then it's going to be Pro 16, and everyone was just getting bored of it. And I think a little bit, even though we've decided to start calling it the ultimate, you know, the ultimate rugby championship. And this, I think it's just, it's an injection of something, of a little something, just to make us all smile. Look at Richard Cockerell today, was incredibly positive about it. Now, okay, fair enough, he has to be, because there's not much else to do. But I think he's looking at it and going, well, actually, you know, we've got the opportunity to come out top of the top of that year of that conference, and then not second, first, mate. But anyway, I think it's an incredible, it's a positive thing, and I'm quite happy. I've renewed my season ticket.
Good. Raw. I mean, it does feel exciting, because I think there is something to aim for every team in that. I suppose the question is, and I know we've joked about it, you know, Italy, John, there, and alas, it's to you, Ian, that we are in a pool with the Italians, and as much as the Irish are mourning about the fact that essentially they've only got one bite, that only one team, one of their team, is going to qualify for the, you know, the Heineken Cup. But potentially, from a Scottish point of view, we've voted to put ourselves in a position where we might not qualify. None of our teams will qualify at all if, say, Benetton are able to reproduce the form from the Rainbow Cup.
Yeah, and you know, also let's not forget that, you know, Benetton a couple of years ago were in the playoffs for the Pro 14. So it's more, I think, that their season this year, it was almost like a Glasgow season, that they were still rebuilding and finding their feet, because, you know, Glasgow were muck to begin with, and now we're starting to find our way, and I think it may have been the same with Benetton. I mean, it's just that, you know, with the South African news coming in, the quality level is just going to raise all around the bar. And what it means as well is that the likes of Wales, you know, I mean, was it, apparently Alwyn Jones hadn't played a club game in Edinburgh since like 2006.
Yeah. No, he'd only played against the Border Reavers. Mm-hmm. That's the only game he played out in Scotland. Was the only game that wasn't a, you know, an international, was against the Border Reavers.
So if this ensures, and especially because it's, you know, games are outside the test windows, if it means that there are the international players going to be turning it for club sides, it will raise more interest. It will raise quality, because it has been the fact that, you know, I mean, this last season in particular, the Irish teams completely smashed the floor with everyone. Whether it was a very attractive style of rugby or not is another matter. But I think as well, you know, if you're Munster and Ulster, who are so set piece dominant, they're going to come against South Africans, and they're not going to bully teams the way they will. So it's going to have to make them change their style. It's also going to, you know, make us harder. But the Irish, it seems like the Irish clubs, they want to almost make a Europa Super League kind of idea. Like, everything should be based on merit. It's like they're trying to close the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, then all you're going to get is the same teams playing each other over and over again. And it's not going to raise standards for Italian or Scottish or Welsh teams, who we do know have world-class players. But we just don't have the budgets of the French and the English. And also, let's not forget, I mean, they seem to forget that both, like, Edinburgh and Glasgow were in the quarterfinals of the Champions Cup not so recent, you know, just a couple of years ago. And when Glasgow made the Champions Cup quarterfinals, who have we run into? The team who have been demoted for cheating. You know? So, if you're willing to just, like, further make that gap bigger by just giving more money to the big teams, just because it suits you, that's fine. Yeah, that's pure rugby values, isn't it?
I think that's the interesting thing with the Irish objection to this, because they feel they're being hard done by in the fact that they're in a conference with the other Irish team, and so you got one, you know, one Irish team gets the opportunity to qualify from being top. And is it? I mean, my reading of it is four teams qualify for the Heineken Cup, and then the next best four placed teams in the league would qualify for the Championship, is that right?
No, that's not right. So it's the top four teams.
Don't make me
so
play the video again, John.
One from each. No, I've got this under control, troops. One from each conference, so the top of each conference, and then it's the next four teams in the ranking table. So those teams get taken out of the ranking, and then it's the next four. So the next four best placed teams go into the Champions Cup as well.
Eight teams. There is still a level of meritocracy to it. And
there is a level of meritocracy.
Yeah, so there's no meritocracy anymore, right? It's just you's whining because you're not getting... it's just the IRFU whining, particularly Leinster whining because they're not getting their own damn way.
So I think there's an opportunity here for Irish rugby that they're not really noticing, and it's because they don't want to reveal that they've done it in the past. There is an opportunity. They've got two games against each of their provinces. They are all under Irish rugby control. They can make sure those results suit those Irish provinces to their heart's content. So if they need a wee draw at the end of the season, brilliant. Batter in, guys. On you go.
I think the interesting thing for me is that, you know, Irish teams wanting a level playing field conveniently forget, Craig, that, you know, that the ultimate rugby championship still has no salary cap, you know, unlike the English Premiership. And so English teams and French teams, who I think are subject to similar, you know, a different level of salary cap, but salary cap nonetheless, and different constraints within French rugby for number of players and, you know, French qualified players. You know, the English and the French teams would say the same as the Scottish and Irish teams, that, well, we're not playing again on a level playing field with the Irish provinces, who, you know, seem to have this endless kind of, you know, stream of players that can just come in and slot in unnecessarily, and you know, just slot in wherever they're needed without having any financial constraints placed upon them. So yes, they're competing against each other now for European Cup places, but at the same time, no one's asking them where all the money's coming from.
Yeah, I think also the good thing about it is that they can spend, you know, currently they can spend what they want on their teams, but it's only going to affect their four teams at the moment. Okay, fair enough, whatever team comes up and gets the chance to go into the finals of the Ultimate Rugby Championship. Yes, they've spent a huge amount of money if they want to, but I think it's, we've been operating, you know, especially the two pro clubs in Scotland have been, and I guess it's the same for the Italians, we've been banging our head against the brick wall because of the money that's in the Irish game. And I think it'll be nice to see what the South African clubs bring, the real South African clubs bring to Leinster and to Ulster and to Munster. And I think it will do nothing but just bring our game up. You never know. You might see a little bit more private investment in the Scottish clubs, or at least the SRU releasing a little bit more, a few more pounds out of their pocket into the two pro clubs as well.
I suppose the question is, Ian, does this? They obviously it has a better impact in terms of the quality of competition that we're going to get more of the national players being in the competition because there's more at stake, but conversely, the international weekends, I suppose, have been an opportunity for the younger players to be exposed. You know, you wouldn't have, you know, these younger players that come through, particularly Glasgow, have used their younger players very well in the Rainbow Cup. That's maybe the downside of it, is that it's going to force teams to play their established stars rather than giving the younger players a chance.
There's still going to be rest protocols, though. You know, obviously, Scotland, the Glasgow, Edinburgh players, they're all sort of centrally contracted. So there's limits on workload. So I don't think it would be massively different. And also, you look at the fact that, whereas Glasgow have been like dying out for an actual standoff for the last couple of years. You know, if Hastings was away, that was us done. Now we've, you know, Duncan Weir's coming back, John say nothing, Diego Miotti, and, you know, Ross Thompson stepped up to the plate, and he's you know, maybe a spoiler for the news section for going to it, but Ross Thompson has won Young Player of the Year and Supporters Player of the Year at Glasgow Warriors. Now, Young Player of the Year I've got no problem with, because he stepped up to the plate and he's been absolutely fantastic, and I think we're going to see progression there. So, you know, now there is that strength and depth at Glasgow. I look forward to this competition because it means that the good ones, even when the best are away, we're still going to have better backup, and it means that when those backup guys do step up, they're playing against better teams. So it's not just walkovers like, you know, putting 70 points on Zebra, as it always was. You know, sometimes we'll be playing good South African teams.
Yeah. I mean, that's the interesting thing, isn't it, Craig, that we, you know, we play South Africa once every 2-3 years in the autumn, and then occasionally might be unlucky enough to draw them in the draw them in the World Cup. But from a Scottish point of view, to be playing these players week in, week out, it can only be a good thing.
For me, yes, I absolutely agree. And not only, it's not just for the teams. Edinburgh, you know, they're always well known for their forwards work, and they're hitting the ball up and using their big guys to rattle the ball through the field. They'll come up against it with the South African clubs. But it's not just that. It's bringing people, especially Edinburgh, who are needing to bring as many fans as they possibly can to the new place. You're going to have people coming to see Steph de Toit play, come and see Mapimpi play. They want to see these players. And if we can, and I think it's, you're not just going to get to see them in a South African shirt. You're getting to see them in a club game, playing your team. And I think it should hopefully be a fantastic thing for both Glasgow and Edinburgh.
Yeah. The other thing that is kind of hanging over all this is that South Africa is still in the Rugby Championship, and the end of the Rugby Championship overlaps with the start of the Ultimate United Rugby Championship. So I assume the South African teams are going to have a rest period and then pick up their fixtures during the Six Nations when you look at the fixture list. But there is that element, I suppose, that, you know, do we end up with a Six or Seven Nations in the Northern Hemisphere, John? Do South Africa come up? You know, that's the, their teams can now qualify for the European Championship and the European Cup. Do we now end up with a Seven Nations in the Northern Hemisphere versus the Rugby Championship in the South?
Yeah, absolutely. So that was the big one. I think I said in our little group chat as well. As soon as, so the South African teams coming in before, it was always about, it was opportunistic from the Pro 12 as it was at the time. But there was that incentive of European qualification. That was the barrier. That was what said, you know what, actually, you're part of our league, but you know what, you're no really that welcome. We'll take your TV money and we'll play against you, but actually, you know, this isn't sustainable. There's four teams in there, they've given them European qualification. That is the absolute beacon to say, you know what, it's time for South Africa to come north. Up you come, boys. Ian's doing a fishing sign for those on audio here. it is time for South Africa to bring... Now, South Africa have, and it's been widely reported, their TV revenue within the Sanzar, as it was, what their TV revenue was huge. That is going to be a huge incentive for us. For example, an investor like CBC to encourage a South African side to maybe come north and be part of a championship. Could it be seven teams? I reckon they would have to. Seven teams is awkward. Like, Five Nations was always awkward. So seven teams is awkward. So could you see another team in there? Perhaps just to appease those who may suggest that Georgia should be in there.
I think if you're looking at market, this is going to sound really harsh now, Palace, there's no doubt. I think Japan. If you're looking at markets, it's Japan or the USA, but I think it's more likely the USA for travel time and convenience. If you're going to make it a Northern Hemisphere championship, that's not fair on other countries who are better than the USA, but from a markets point of view, if you're doing if you're doing an annual Northern Hemisphere tournament, that's where you go.
And we're saying CBC are in charge, so you know. Let's be honest; they'll be calling the shots.
Or then do we just go to a full global tournament, not the Nations League,
World League?
Yeah. Can we even look at the fact that Fiji have had to cut Semi Ranrara from their squad for this this sort of Pacifica tournament?
Why?
So they can't. Because he's playing for Bristol.
Okay, so I'm still not hearing a why, but okay. What, he's playing for Bristol, so they've had to cut, what, because of COVID, or?
No, because he can't play, hang on, right, where is it?
Is it that he can't get over in time for the start of the tournament?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's...
And isolate, yeah.
Aye. So the isolation periods, aye, that's, right, okay. That's not going to last forever.
I think the other thing, though, is that this is this feels like, I suppose, the United Rugby Championship feels like the first step in recognising the need for a global season where you have club rugby, for want of a better expression, professional club rugby acknowledging that it's an irrelevance during the international window. Nobody, apart from the diehard fans, and I'm speaking to somebody who's completely, I'm apathetic about pro rugby. It's a means to an end for me. It always has been. I think this might change things because most people would consider pro rugby a complete irrelevance during the international windows. And I think this feels like an acknowledgement that that is the case. But what it does do is it means that it actually puts pro club rugby on an equal footing with international rugby because it's not competing anymore. So these situations where you've got overlaps of players, and if that can translate to other leagues, then that's good for the sport overall. And it feels like we've suddenly, it's taken coronavirus to do, but suddenly we're moving to a place, and I'll throw this to you, Craig, it feels like we're moving to a place where a global season might be achievable.
Yeah, but you've also got to think of, for me, it's a money situation as well, because not everyone's going to, those who have gone and paid to go to Murrayfield to go and watch a Scotland international game, and then there's an Edinburgh game around the same weekend, they're not going to spend, or the week before, they're not going to spend their money to go, unless they're diehards like myself, but they're not going to spend their money to go to an Edinburgh game that they think, well, I'm not going to see the stars of Edinburgh play because they're all off with Scotland. So I think it's a mixture of CVC flexing their, wanting their money, their investment to work, but also the global rugby season. It makes sense finally, and this is what, just as you've said, it just drives me crazy that they're actually, this is the first time anyone's thought about it. It's madness, you know.
I think they've probably thought about it. It's just that it's been unpalatable.
The SRU and the RFU and everyone to actually, and the clubs to all work in the same direction. I can imagine it's quite difficult.
Yeah.
I think it's also an opportunity, just as a final point, to reflect on, like, so, and it's actually, we'll come full circle a wee bit here, but from a Scottish perspective, we talked about, you know, we might see our internationals a wee bit more in the club game, the pro club game, I should say. We might see that actually the requirement for the 50, 52, 53, 55-man squads that we've seen in the pro game might actually dissipate slightly. And with that, there's a cost element to that. But also then that puts the pressure on that next tier. And that's where Irish rugby, Welsh rugby have probably got it a bit more sorted. That's where the Super Six comes in. And that's where the SRU have absolutely rooked us. Because if they set that up properly, with a view to it is the next tier of rugby, then you can understand, like, this situation works perfectly in the SRU's favour. They have smaller streamlined squads for the pro teams, with that step up not being as big. But it's not the case.
Yeah. And that's the, I suppose that's where, you know, we'll see how that pans out, won't we, with the Super Six. Is it genuine, you know, if that's the case, it needs to be a development league, because otherwise you're going to have guys within a 50-man Edinburgh squad who won't even get a look in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Any more for the Ultimate Fighting Championship before we move on?
Nothing, not.
No.
Sounds good. We'll look forward to it.
Good. Other news to do?
I don't think, we've got this lad. Do you know, are you going to do the mullet thing then, Ian?
Oh, there's that, and also the Community Awards.
Community Awards, yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like we've run out of time to do the community awards this week, but I do want to do it. So we'll maybe throw that to next week because I think it's worth highlighting a couple of.
I don't think they've done them all either. Like they've done two Glasgow ones. Canvas Lang did bloody well, by the way. As did Stirling County, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Mullet thing, yes.
Yes. So this is if you go to, I've got to get the right account. So if you
the dapper dirty mullet for it's for Dory. So the Twitter handle is at boss BOSS. Right, we're going to have to like definitely post this.
Post it in the chat.
Make it nice and easy to spell, mate. So it's boss AYAWHING. That's like Bossy O'Hing.
I'm pretty sure he's Scots qualified as well.
Bravo, Oscar, Sierra, Sarah. Sierra, Alpha, Yankee, Alpha, Whiskey, Hotel, India, what's it in again?
November,
it is, isn't it? So, nice and handy. Yeah, so it's about growing a mullet for, Doddy.
Dirty mullet for MND, I think is the thing.
Dirty or dapper. And also, since last time I shaved my hair off, it's coming back in now, and I'm already starting to get that kind of neck to where does neck hair end and head hair begin, sort of thing.
Your toes, mate, that's where it ends and begins.
I've
got them all out anyway, but that's only because I'm cutting my own hair. Just, you kind of get to that bit at the back. And my wife, when he touches, she's convinced she's going to cut me. protective shield on it, it's fine. We've got a late Where's Do Donna from Olap84 says he saw Stuart McAnally in the Gorgi Aldi today. Lots of protein yogurts.
They have a mullet?
I actually have a Where's Do Donna as well.
Go on then, eat, John.
I spied Jamie Batty hanging out at the Five Sisters Zoo. We had a look.
The Five Sisters Zoo is the Five Sisters is a pub in Edinburgh. What is that?
Five Sisters Zoo is over in Livingston area, West Calder, and Jamie Batty and we exchanged a look. Oh, I think I know you. I think I know you too.
Hubble chaps.
Were you exchanged a look over the meerkats or?
No. So it was actually in a queue, so it was a bit awkward.
Queue for ice cream van.
No, we weren't in an ice cream van, but then I quickly Googled him and I came across his Rugby Pass interview and I was like, oh, bloody hell, I hadn't read that. But yeah, so I believe Jamie was hanging out at the Five Sisters Zoo.
Oh, that's a good way to do it. I mean, I'm wondering whether or not Edinburgh playing Stuart McAnally enough if he has to get his protein yogurts from Aldi.
He's repairing.
The protein yogurts at Aldi are really good. Like, let's be honest, they're pretty. You've got a number of different options. You could go skier. There's also the proper 22% protein ones, which are pretty good.
Listen, if Aldi want to sponsor us, our Manscaped sponsorship's cut up at the end of June, so get in touch.
They've got a big massive it's in an industrial state, so they've got a runway for him to land his jet on so he can go in and get all the yogurt he wants.
Nice.
Well, that boss says he ate pizza next to John Barclay at Mamma Mia in the grass market at his son's birthday party. I assume that's pre-COVID though. Shall we move on? Let's move on and we will do this.
Is Cammy frozen?
Cammy's left himself on mute.
Camster, you're on mute, so. Is that the universal sign language for mute?
No, in relation to me, I was going to try and point at him.
I'm fine. Yeah. I had a lag, a wee internet lag. We're sorted now. We're back.
How's it now? Is lag okay?
The lag's fine. I'm pleased. Yeah, I'm very grateful to you both for filling. I could hear you filling in my You were filling in my ears. You were coming in my ears.
Your background.
Really? You want to go that?
Cammy, your background makes you look like you're in a square of Tron or something.
I know, that's it. I'm broadcasting from inside the Matrix.
Nice.
Is that actually, like, so I just want to check, is that actually, like, you know, you get those podcasting lights that Ian should have invested in by now?
No, that's outside those, there's a blind.
Hashtag exclude.
I've said before, the room I'm broadcasting from is my kids' playroom. So I've got toy trains. I've got a Mickey Mouse car down here.
Do you have the instruments that you used on various podcasts in the past? Because I think this could be really useful for Taskmaster. Yes!
Nice.
Yes, is the answer to that. Keyboards, the batteries on the... battery on the keyboard's run out, so I can't do the show. I can't try and recreate the Grand Scan theme, which I completely forgot how it went.
Just to check, Cam, can you play the solo to Long Way at the Top, the bagpipe solo on your little horn thing there? Can you play that?
The problem with this one is it doesn't need to do notes. Now, there is another one here. If I can find it, we might be able to get some notes out of. I've got tambourines. Shakers.
For the audio podcast, Cammy, you're playing.
I've got the trumpet that does work. So what you have to, I'll take the quest now for hands.
The solo to Long Way at the Top. The bagpipe solo.
Oh, that's
solo.
Too tricky. I could probably do. I can do nursery rhymes on it. And that's about it. It's not got the range.
You've got enough notes for a Scott.
That's actually more notes than in your average AC/DC song. So.
I would just like to say that if anyone is listening to this podcast and they've been touched by the events of tonight and want to reach out to us and donate money to us, please, please do. It's obvious we need it.
Yes, I can do. I mean, I can do.
The
I can
cowbell,
do.
Johnny, the cowbell.
That's Back in Black.
That is.
Roderick says more cowbell. I haven't got a cowbell. No cowbell, unfortunately. Sorry.
I had to innovate a cowbell during our epic cover of Killing the Name of. I had to innovate a wee cowbell because I didn't have one. So I used the rim of the cymbal and did a wee tappy tap. It was beautiful.
Well, we're not here to kind of take requests. The Hands in the Rockies are any of us.
Me and John are starting a wedding band, so with Cammy take... on plastic instruments.
So it's Hands in the Rock. I'll start with you. What's your Hands in the Rock this week?
So it's a really, really simple one, and actually we've kind of joked about it in this one, but it's the way that Benetton have suddenly become the greatest Northern Hemisphere team in the world ever by winning a Diddy Cup that nobody gave two plats about.
Even
I'm showing my colours tonight, I'm like, right, come on, Benetton, let's do this. Look, let's be honest, right? It's worked out in their favour. They had a good couple of results. They've done it with the skin of their teeth. I've said it a few times. It's easier to win short championships. Benetton are not a good team. They are not a good team. They have managed to string a couple of results together in the same way that many teams have strung a couple of results together. Remember the Cheetahs side from a few years ago who were pretty average but managed to get a few results and got to a Pro 14 playoff? Look, Benetton are not that good. And I think the South African teams will very quickly show up the discrepancies in Northern Hemisphere play. And I think Benetton will be found out. So if we could all just ditch the Benetton hype train and realise where we are, That would be nice, guys. I think it's time for reality, please.
I suppose the flip side of that is whether or not the South African teams find the Scottish sides out, though.
Well, they might. They might, and that's the thing. But actually, what I'm concerned about is now we've got the world-beating Benetton in our group. I think it's important for us to realise that they are not brilliant, and therefore Scotland teams should be absolutely scudding Benetton. We should still be setting our stall out to absolutely smash them.
Presumably, though, what Scottish teams need to do is not scud them too much so that the Irish teams and the Welsh teams don't start complaining and saying that we should reorganise the conferences. So we need to be a win by just enough to make it look like they're competitive so that we can keep that conference.
So and score four tries.
Scud the Welsh.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be beautiful.
Bravo.
So score four tries and then let them have three.
Anyway, to be honest.
Let them score a losing bonus point. You get a bonus point wins. Let them score a losing bonus point. And then scud the rest of the table. And then when everyone says, but you've got the Italians in your group, go, but they're competitive.
Is that the request? One score game, guys. One score game. I think we just need a wee bit of a reality check. Like, so people that are saying that the new conference system is like a bad thing for Scotland, it is absolutely not, in that we have more games again. Well, let's do Zebre, for example. Zebre are the whipping boys and have been for so many years. We've got two games against them each. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Let's just put a pin in this point of the podcast to bring it back at the end of the season, John. Yeah, and you had a point.
Are Zebre any worse than Dragons? I know Dragons managed to beat us like
quantifiably, yes.
Because, yeah, they've got some talent coming through. Whereas, like, right, Dragons is like, it's the B end of the Welsh retirement village. It's like Glasgow in a bit, like in a way that we used to bring people back, like Richard Hibbard. Did you see, like, I did not recognise Richard Hibbard when he went on the pitch a couple of weeks ago.
Cut his hair?
Cut his hair.
Yeah.
It was like, who's that dude with the tattoos? It's Richard Hibbard.
That's him accepting that he's balding and old, mate.
Well, good. Because that hair is ridiculous in the first place.
I think you're going a little bit nuclear on the old Italians, because if you look at what they're having to their setup as a whole, to do what they're already doing, and some of the scalps that Benetton have taken already over the last few years of the Pro 14 has been, they are, when they get their act together, they are very, very good. They can be good. They can put some decent play together. And also you've got to remember, if we look at the Rainbow Cup, half the South African stars aren't going to be coming up to the final because Razi Rasmus has said no, they're not travelling. So it'll be an interesting one. But I think Benetton, yes, there's the hype train and everyone's going, oh, come on, Benetton, and this, that and the other, because they're going up against the South Africans. But I just think it'll be an interesting one over the next. And just as Cammy said, we'll see what happens at the end of the season and see where they are.
Yeah.
Just to be very clear with regards to the Rainbow Cup, right? Benetton's Rainbow Cup results, yes, they pumped Glasgow. Let's ignore that for a second.
I never mentioned that. I never talked about that once.
And that's to your credit, Craig. Well done.
So anyone questioning the conference system that is now in place, here you are, right? They beat Zebre by 5 points. They then beat Zebre by 7 points. And they beat Connacht. Right, so you're beating the weakest Irish province and you're beating your rival, who are utterly mince, twice. They are not Rainbow Cup champions. That is nonsense, guys. They then got a walkover against the Welsh team, who would probably have beaten them. Just saying.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I like the Rainbow Cup because it was utterly mad and everyone started playing rugby rather than the normal pro 14. Yeah, so that was to its credit. Craig, what's your hands in the ruck?
For me, it's a basic one, and I'm going to go and bang the Edinburgh drum tonight. John is currently banging his hand in a drum movement, but for me, Premier Sports are doing my head in and have done my head in for the last year and a half, 2 years. We went to the, fair enough, it was a dead rubber of a game, Edinburgh v Scarlets this weekend, but we had four pundits, all Welsh, didn't know half of the Edinburgh team, couldn't talk about half of the Edinburgh team. And then when it came to at the end, oh, what's your predictions? Oh, it was all Scarlets are going to win. If you're going to be a professional TV organisation, I know that we're struggling for travel and things like that, but at least represent the other team a little bit. And I just was very, it just boiled my pee. I was very, very grumpy with it. And I just felt that Edinburgh deserved a little bit more respect.
I think the interesting thing, isn't it, that with the Ultimate Rugby Championship, we're talking about new broadcast rights. There's no guarantee that the Premier are going to get that. The suggestion is it's going to be BBC, some element of BBC. So I suppose it's how much investment the BBC Alba or BBC Scotland is willing to put into it. And I suppose the question is, which comes first? You know, is it, does the like a Scrum 5 survive because it exists and therefore gives a platform to Welsh rugby, or is the fact that Welsh rugby is perceived as being popular in Wales the reason why you have Scrum 5 promoting? So I don't know. I think that's I agree with you, Craig, that Premier Sports have done Scottish teams the dirty overall, although we've had reasonable representation at times. It's a worry, I suppose, a little bit of what we're now going to get with the Ultimate Rugby Championship.
Yeah, I'm concerned that the new championship is going to be split over two or three different TV companies, and you're going to have to search for it. I'm concerned about that, or you're going to have three or four different subscriptions to get to see your team play every single game. But also just little things like when we were piping in crowd noise, the crowd noise that Premier Sports used to pipe in was just white noise. It was horrendous. And at least this time we got to hear Frank Murphy's bind echo throughout the ghost town that was Park of Scarlets. But it was just, I just feel if they're going to be taken seriously, they need to take the team seriously and get a bit of respect from the fans and from the teams. And I just felt this weekend was, yes, fair enough, there wasn't a lot to be won out of, or there wasn't a lot of purpose out of that game, but I just felt they deserved to respect the players and the fans a little bit more than they did.
Yeah, fair enough. Ian, your hands in the ruck.
Well, I would just like to second Craig there. Maybe it's, you know, we're hearing things through slightly blue-tinted speakers, but it does seem like the Welsh and Irish commentary teams on Premier Sports are particularly parochial and biased. What is my hands on rock now? Does he now? Cammy's left, and also these are completely, you know, they're not consequential things. But my eye's been twitching for a while, and it started twitching again. So I'm confused. What's annoyed me this week? John, tell me what's annoyed me this week.
Maybe nothing's annoyed you. I think
why you're twitching, because nothing's annoyed you.
I think yeah. Craig's got a very valid point. I think so. I was going to interject when Craig was talking about multiple different subscriptions and the phrase "where is the game?" I was thinking. I was hashtag pray for Ian at that point, because I was thinking of the forum and thinking how absolutely livid you would be if it was on multiple. Like, even though we've had 2 years of Premier Sports having all the fixtures,
what channel is it on?
What channel is it on? It's like, well, it'll be Premier Sports channels.
Well, that's another thing. Like, so we know that S4C are probably going to get free to air stuff, but I still think that Prem are going to hold rights to everything, but it's just in certain areas they'll give out highlight reels or language based rights or Welsh, Gaelic, you know, they'll dish them out. But everything, if you want everything, will be on prem. And also the fact they've got the top 14 now as well. So we get to see Finn Russell.
I think there's a market for Scottish rugby on free air if it was done properly. I think if somebody had the guts to do it, there's a market for a Scottish rugby magazine type show that includes the Super Six. And I know the SRU did a deal, but it includes a bit of Super Six, a bit of club rugby and the pro, you know, the alternate rugby teams as well.
I was just going to say, is this not a current sales process?
Well, that's our podcast. That's what we try and do.
If someone wants to supply us with some footage, we will give commentary over the top of it. It will be beautiful.
Yeah,
you know, I have a film degree, so I can film it all.
If you're filming, we'll not get to hear your repertoire, your witty repertoire. And there's Mr. You know, we're trying to have you filming. You know,
that's true.
You
know,
we should do it. I think we should do it. Kind of Wayne's World style. We could make it meta. And kind of include Ian from the gallery, couldn't we?
Oh, that's beautiful.
But we're breaking all the walls.
I know.
We're just the fourth wall. Every wall.
Get in touch, BBC.
A tube of walls just getting smashed.
I think a bit, you know, like in Wayne's World where they recreated Wayne's basement to do the TV show. Yeah. I think we should get BBC Scotland down to recreate my kids' playroom, and we should then recreate that on a soundstage.
Yep. Chipping over musical instruments and everything.
That would be no worse than the View from a Terrace show that was on BBC Scotland the other night. So I think we are on to something, guys.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that's one that's got that had your big captain. Oh, look at the Scotland players not taking the knee. How shameful are Scottish rugby players?
Is that old form facts?
No. I think it was that Craig Fowler.
I want is Peter Reid to come in and be a roving reporter now and then, and just Peter Wright, I should say, talking about breaking walls, then he'll be the man.
Do you remember Andy Townsend's tactic trucks that they tried on? They tried that on Match of the Day back in the day when it went to ITV for a bit. Peter Wright's a long distance lorry driver. We could get him to do the tactics truck live from an actual truck on the road. Just give him a FaceTime from his cabin.
If we time it right, he'll be on his 45-minute break. He'll be on a break in his tackle. He'll just get us straight onto the truck. That'd be absolutely sensational. And then if we time it properly, we could actually go and live stream for his truck.
But no, if he's doing like a, you know, a cross channel run, you know, we can probably watch all of the European Championships while we're waiting to queue at Dover.
Yeah.
Yes, it's good.
So my hands in there, it's kind of linked to this in a way, is I suppose it's just the realization now that Scotland are in an international football tournament for the first time in decades. How much of a minority sport rugby is in Scotland? I think we've had it good for the last kind of 10 years, maybe, that as the, particularly on the Vern Cotter, as the results got better, we on paper, the rugby team's been more successful than the football team. And you think things are really going well here. And then you just look at the amount of content the BBC has put out over the European Championship in terms of getting bloggers, comedians, people doing daily content. And you compare that to what went out over the Rugby World Cup, which was sweet FA.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll just pish at it.
Yeah.
If I'd knocked a couple of buildings in, I could see Hampden from where I live.
Yeah.
Right. And like Scotland rugby friendlies pull in way more than Scotland football friendlies.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time there's only been like not even 20,000 people over there. You know, they put on all these extra like gates at Glasgow Central at the train station, and you can just walk in, just like, all right, I didn't have to walk through this gate at all. I could have just gone straight up to the platform. Yeah, we just do a sucky job at advertising. I think it's just
we're at a stage where we should be, you know, someone somewhere should be doing all that extra stuff of the getting the, you know, poets to write poems and get it to go viral on, you know, and getting boomers to criticize the poems and say they're rubbish and, you know, all that. That should be the
what I think
where
is
we are.
The massive thing for me is that thing is. Now, you know, there's that classic sort of old cliched scenario of trying to explain the offside rule to someone, and you're there in a pub with ketchup bottles and all this, right? The offside rule in football is a lot easier to explain than the offside rule in rugby. The rules of rugby are very, very difficult to explain unless you know them. Even if you've got something like Sam Larner's whiteboard rugby, some of that, you know, I've watched some of that, it's like, but you still have to know what the gain line is. It's just, there needs to be an absolute dummy's guide done
on
website and before games, even just a sort of 5-minute warm-up. Like, sorry, right, so is this your first Scotland-England game, is it? Right, here's what happens. You know, because it's a very, very complicated and confusing game.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Was there not a point when Squidge did an introduction to one of the games? Was it the World Cup or was it?
I would say that the World Rugby do a reasonable job of that kind of stuff. There's stuff on their channels that does a reasonable job of it. I think someone said to me that BT Sport, I don't have BT, so I don't understand. I don't really follow it that much, but the BT Sport magazine shows do a good job of that kind of stuff. And even I think Rugby World magazine does a very good job of like talking about rugby without talking down or assuming knowledge of it. But I think it's you know, around the Six Nations, the coverage is basically the game and that's it.
There's
nothing on the social media. There's nothing, no build-up to on the social... The build-up on the social media isn't anywhere near what it's been like for the European Championships.
Yep. You need to know where you're looking. That's the thing. We took a guy through to Scotland, Fiji, when Cats at the Rave was unleashed, right? And I was very, very excited. We shouted in his ear to tell him that Cats and the Reef was coming, and he didn't know really what that was, and that's understandable. But it was his first rugby game, and genuinely on the train through, we were like googling beginner's guide to rugby, and there wasn't anything that actually was engaging or just simple. And Ian's absolutely right; we shoot ourselves in the foot because we make this game that is so exciting. Like everyone talk once a person's into rugby, they talk about you can score at any time and you can literally take the ball on your own goal line and you could be under the posts in 5 seconds time. That doesn't happen in football.
Glasgow Exeter.
Exactly.
Wait, my mate, sorry to interrupt. I was just
no, go, 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 go.
Right. My mate Lindsay, right, who I used to me and her were at uni together, and she used to play for, she's a Man United fan, but she was on like Man United's girls team's books for a while. And then a couple of years ago, she signed up for a local rugby team. She's like, I need to get fit. You know, she's like 35. She's like, I've never played rugby. I was like, check this out. She's like, I know a bit of league because I'm from that area, but I don't watch rugby because I used to think it was just fat lads running with an egg. Yeah. Even though
it still is sometimes.
Yeah,
we were in uni in Wales together and lived in a house just on the back of Rodney Parade, and we were just like, oh, just fat legs chasing egg. And then I showed her that, and she was like, "That's pretty bloody good, isn't it?" You know, so you show stuff like that. You know, you get people excited by showing that kind of stuff.
I think you're right.
You know, of big hits, which we don't want anymore.
But again, it's that whole thing of you watch the Calcutta Cup comes up and they have the same old punditry standing at the same place in Murrayfield, and they talk for half an hour to an hour of here's a coach, let's talk to him and find out what Eddie Jones has got to say for it, even though it's usually utter usual. And then they don't have that. So, and that's when I saw that small clip of Squidge Rugby on I think it was one of the World Cup warm-ups, it was exciting because you actually got a bit of comedy through it. You got a bit of, a, you know, you could tell what was going on. He broke it down. And I think, for me, that's the sort of thing we need, rather than this, okay, he's retired, but bringing out Inverdale and Sir Clive and rolling them out anymore, you know?
Even the guys that we've got just now, even your Andy Nichols, even, I would go as even far as to say Chris Patterson, these guys, they're so media managed. They just say the same stuff every single game.
I think that Chris Patterson is a, and the commentators do a good job during the Six Nations of explaining what's happening on the pitch. I think the problem is that there's not enough done to draw people into getting them to sit down and listen to a commentator explaining what's happening on the pitch and Chris Patterson explaining what. I think actually the commentary and the co-commentators generally do a reasonable job of explaining what's happening, but it's like Craig said, the build-up to it is, here's some guys in some beige jackets talking about stuff that you didn't understand, and it ends up kind of pleasing nobody because it's so, I find it so banal, the kind of stuff they're talking about. It's like, this is just mediocre, what, you know, the kind of some of the chat here, and to people who are new to the sport would just go, I didn't understand any of this.
So just, what you're saying, Cam, is, and what you're committing to right now, and what I'm hearing, is that next Six Nations, what we're going to do is, prior to the game, we are going to film the guide to the game.
Yes. I think we need to write it as well. And we can pitch it.
And we can pitch it. And then, during the game, we will do our alternative commentary.
I think that's definitely something I want to do. That's definitely something we'll do. I think during this, we've got, well, I think during the autumn, we will do, for our patrons, we will do an exclusive commentary of a match. So we won't be able to show the match, but we will sit and watch it and we will have a chat through it.
We will commentate on the match. That will be beautiful.
And we've also got several, you know, we've at least got three clubs that we can go to and do some work with the senior men and women to show set pieces and go through them with a little bit of a lighter attitude to it than the usual dirge that we get.
Absolutely.
There we go.
John Anderson's guide to kicking penalties.
Mate, I will happily film that. You turn up your phone, I will kick some penalties for you and we can talk.
Right. Kick it. Speaking of filming, people filming themselves doing ridiculous things, before we go, we should just say that a week on Friday, we have our Dodmaster, which is our take on Taskmaster. It's British and Irish Lions inspired version of take on Taskmaster. We've got five contestants representing Scotland, England, Ireland, Wales, and the Springboks. So we've got from Howard Fife, we've got Johnny McGinty, who's representing Scotland, doing a sterling job in his task to raise the most money. He is currently topping the charts of people who've raised the most money for My Name's Doddy. If you go to justgiving.com/fundraising/Dodmaster, or go to Just Giving and search Dodmaster, you'll find our main fundraising page. If you scroll down, you'll find a link to the contestants, and you could donate to the individual nation of your choice, because one of the tasks they've been set is to raise the most money for My Name's Doddy. They've been set other tasks, which they will be filming and recording before the evening, and we'll play those live on the evening, which will remain a secret until then. And we have three Dodmasters judging it. We've got John. John, you're going to be judging it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I should just interject as well, just to give the guys that may be listening in a wee bit of clarity. See if you just Google Dodmaster, you'll be there.
There we go. Top result on Google. So yeah, right, Google Dodmaster, find it.
Go Dodmaster, because apparently nobody else has called her anything Dodmaster.
So at the moment, we've broken the £1,000 mark for the fundraising, so we're very excited about that. We've got to see if we can get to 1,500. Get to 1,500, I think that'll be a good achievement. The event itself is free. We're just asking for donations in return for watching it. It'll be broadcast on our YouTube, Facebook, Twitch and Twitter channels live on the night, and you'll be able to watch it back afterwards as well. It will be live. There will be swearing. I will stress that, because there's going to be 9 people on, and I cannot control 9 people not to swear. So it's not going to be for the kids. But
there's going to be alcohol involved as well.
There'll be alcohol involved.
You know how this goes.
We've got Bruce Aitchison judging as well. We've got Josh from Blood and Mud judging. It's going to be a lot of fun. The judges don't know what the tasks are. I'm going to tell them this week so they can start to think about how they want to judge. John is going to be your vessel on the evening. If you want to give your throw your tuppence in on how well people have done, then you do your comments. John will pick up the best, and he'll allow you to influence his voting on the evening.
Absolutely. I mean, it will come as no surprise to any regular listeners. I am 100% up for sale. Like, literally, see, if you want to tell me you're paying money, Noddy, for an extra vote for Johnny. I mean, other votes I'll have to mitigate, but if you're paying money for a vote for Johnny, like, I'm up for sale.
I would also like to advise everyone that John is well scrubbed, so you know, if you're wishing to give him some, then you know.
I think on that note, we better move on. I'm not going to elaborate on that. That's a good point. That is not, I will stress, that is not a task that has been set for Don.
I'm going to walk my door.
But he takes donations.
We will be back next week. We'll probably have a bit of Dodmaster. We've got it's the week before the big Lions kick off against Japan, so we'll have a wee bit of chat about that as well next Wednesday evening, and that'll be Dodmaster on the Friday. But for the moment, it's goodbye from me, goodbye from Craig, John, and Ian.
Goodbye.
Night, groups. Night.